Again, we'll get started with lesson four here. And if you have your handout here, I'm just going to simply read the introduction here, and we'll actually get into the lesson itself. So lesson four, does it matter if I fall back into sin? Once we become a Christian, we have a responsibility to be faithful. On several occasions, Jesus spoke about the cost of discipleship. And we'll have an opportunity to talk about that as well. The cost of discipleship is one that requires a full commitment. Unfortunately, it is easy for us to fall back into sin and into this world that we just escaped. And there's two epistles Peter wrote to Christians in Asia Minor, encouraging them to remain faithful and to follow the example of Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Peter Chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Those verses read as follows. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And certainly when you begin to think about it, you know, Peter is certainly he's actually a very good individual to have written these words. And I say that from the viewpoint, you know, we actually see several occasions in which case Peter himself will stumble. Certainly, we all know about the fact that he was denied Christ, but you think about it over in Galatians chapter 2, where, you know, Paul even confronts Peter, and he confronts him due to the hypocrisy that Peter was actually showing throughout this time frame in regards to the Gentiles and Jews, and how Peter, because of his hypocrisy, was also leading others astray. So certainly, you know, the fact that Peter himself can kind of recognize this and at the same time encourage these Christians to remain faithful. And, you know, you think about it and you think about this world that we live in today, the exact same thing that these Christians in this first century faced, we face the exact same thing, whether it be persecution, whether it be temptation. As a Christian, we will certainly face persecution, and we will also face the temptation to fall back into sin. God is not pleased by those Christians who fall back into sin. And unfortunately, again, if you look in this world today, there are many Christians who do fall back into sin for a variety of reasons. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that Jesus actually warned us about the cost of discipleship. And to start it off, let's turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. And can I get a volunteer to read those verses?
Okay. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God."
Okay, thank you. So ultimately, especially after reading these verses, you kind of see a group of individuals who in a sense, they say they want to follow Christ, but they want to follow Christ on their own terms. They want to follow Christ after, you know, they've done certain things, as long as it kind of fits into their particular schedule, into their mold. And the Bible certainly records numerous instances where people say they're willing to follow Christ, but when they're actually put to the test, we see that they fail. And I want to look at some of these examples. Let's take a look over in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, and I think we'll start with verse 16 here. And over here, we'll actually see the account of the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which one?" Jesus says, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I'll actually stop here, but you know, you begin to think about it. You know, here is an individual who says that he's willing and he wants to follow Christ. But again, when given the opportunity to do so, you know, you have this impression that he would rather have his treasures, his earthly physical treasure, as opposed to having Christ. And again, when you think about this, you know, you see another individual who wants to follow Christ, but they want to follow Christ on their own terms. So they don't, it's not a wholehearted commitment to Christ. It's only, "I'll follow you, but I'll follow you at my own pace. I'll do these things that I want to do to kind of keep myself comfortable." And sometimes we see this type of mentality, again, still in the world today. For numerous individuals, we say we want to follow Christ, but when it comes down for a full commitment to Christ, again, we find ourselves only given so much. There's always limitations. Yes, sir.
And I think something that's really telling in these two passages in particular, the first, you have Jesus rebuking those who are interested in doing his work, but delaying, putting it off. And then here, it says he loves the man, but he allowed him to walk away. Right. And so there is a responsibility that Jesus has provided opportunity, but the responsibility is not that by choice.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about it as a Christian today, I mean, we all have opportunities, numerous opportunities to serve, to go out, to preach the word, to help bring those lost souls into the kingdom. And again, you know, think about those things that we put ahead of Christ on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, sometimes it might not necessarily be something that we are planning to do, but again, think about those things that we put ahead of Christ on a day-to-day basis. And we get to this point sometime where it just becomes a routine. It becomes a habit. And we don't even think about it. And again, we think that our relationship with God is fine. But again, you know, think about whether or not we truly are fully committed to Christ. There's a couple other examples I want to take a look at. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. And we'll start with verse 33, I think it is. Okay, in verse 33, we actually see Peter and the other apostles here more or less saying that they are willing to die and to go to prison with Christ if need be. So in verse 33, we actually read, "But he said to him, 'Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death.' Then he said, 'I tell you, Peter,'" and this being Jesus, "'the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you know me.'" And of course, we know how the rest of this ended, but, you know, you think about this concept and the fact that, you know, Peter himself was very boastful. He felt very confident that he would be there for Christ, regardless of any persecution. But again, you know, you see this concept where persecution comes, and when people are actually being put to death, when Christ was literally being put to death and beaten, you know, you think about it, and sometimes we might not necessarily want to endure that type of pain for anyone. And I could only imagine being in Peter's shoes throughout this time frame, and, you know, making this choice as to whether or not I wanted to be beaten for the sake of Christ, to be possibly put to death for the sake of Christ. And of course, we see that Peter and these other apostles were scattered. But again, you do see this persecution. You do see temptation. You know, the simple fact is, everything that these individuals throughout this first century endured for the sake of Christ. And we can read through Hebrews chapter 11. You see this roll call of faith. These individuals who endured, you know, certainly pain and torture and death for the name of Christ. If you think about those individuals, you know, think about the encouragement that that should actually provide for each and every one of us. The fact that these individuals were willing to die for the sake of Christ. And they literally provided this perfect example for us all. I mean, individuals who were fully committed to the sake of Christ. And again, you know, as you look back on your own life, you know, think back or think, you know, whether or not we ourselves are fully committed to Christ. Think about when we first became Christians. Certainly, when we first became Christians, we were probably gung-ho. We probably wanted to get out there and preach the word and, you know, bring others to Christ. But certainly throughout time, as time went by, you know, consider whether or not you still have that zeal to actually push the gospel of Christ out there into this world. And, you know, again, think about the fact that we all have a responsibility as Christians. But again, consider whether or not we are truly still zealous for the sake of Christ, whether or not we actually have that love for it. Just like, you know, that same day, that first day that we actually became a Christian, whether or not we're still zealous for the name of Christ. Consider again whether or not we have truly counted the cost. And I want to take a look at yet another example here. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and we'll start with verse 26. And we will go down to 35. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 26. Can I get a volunteer to read those verses? Yes, sir.
Luke 14, verse 26, beginning. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. For what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, thank you. And again, you know, when you begin to think about these verses here, you know, think about what Jesus says. And I, as I read through these verses, you know, they really do speak to you in the fact that, think about the fact that these two examples, these individuals, you know, they truly have to consider the cost, whether it be this Warren King or whether it be this individual that's building this tower. You have to truly consider everything. You know, again, before you start with this tower, you know, you do want to make sure you have enough materials to finish. And I think I've probably said this before. I can't tell you how many projects I've started, and I have not had enough material to finish. And I've had to stop in the middle of it, go to Lowe's, go to Home Depot. But again, you know, think about this concept. And think about this Warren King, you know, an individual that, you know, if you know you are outmanned 2-1, you know, you're going to put some thought process into this before you actually make that commitment. And again, think about and following Christ. Now, sometimes we may actually follow Christ just based off of pure emotions. You know, we might get wrapped up in the sermon or the invitation, but think about what Jesus has actually told us. The fact that we actually need to consider, truly consider whether or not we're willing to fully commit. And fully committing, that means that, you know, we may have to quit certain behaviors. We may have to change our lifestyle around. We may have to do those things that, again, are simply pleasing to God, and quit doing those things that are contrary to the word of God. And, you know, you think about it, when we become Christians, the fact is that we should certainly be examples to those of this world. And, you know, Jesus mentioned this concept of salt. You know, you think about salt, especially throughout this time frame, salt could lose that flavor real quickly. And you think about it, once that salt lost its flavor, I mean, of course, it's good for nothing. So they would just simply toss it outside. What happens to that Christian who is no longer a Christian, no longer has those Christian values, those Christian, that Christian character? What happens to that individual that is no longer serviceful to Jesus? You're not doing the work of Christ, especially if you find yourself simply doing, you know, doing whatever you want to do or doing those things that you did before becoming a Christian, especially if they were simple in nature. Think about whether or not that type of individual is of any use whatsoever to Christ. And of course, the answer to that would be no. So, you know, you think about this full concept. That might mean, you think back to Matthew chapter 19 and this rich young ruler. You know, Jesus certainly knew that this individual had a covetous heart. He knew that money was at the center of his heart. So when he brought this particular, you know, point up to him, if he wanted life, he, in a sense, already knew how he was going to respond. And, you know, we've been talking about Psalm 139, and we mentioned the fact that God has a perfect knowledge of mankind, and he truly does. So the simple fact is, you know, again, consider whether or not we are truly willing to make that full commitment to the sake of Christ. As we let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And that verse reads, "But to you, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And let's also turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8. And those verses read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who also being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. And the point that I really wanted to get to here is, again, you know, we certainly have this perfect example to follow. We all have this perfect example, being Christ. You know, you think about Christ's humility and the fact that, again, Christ would come to this earth. He would give up everything that he had, come to this earth and die for our sins. And, you know, you think about it. Think about, you know, again, this humble nature that Christ himself will have. And think about, you know, what it takes to truly mimic, to truly copy that humble nature, that character of Christ. And again, you know, think about the concept of, again, making this full commitment to Christ. And making a full commitment to Christ certainly means that, you know, we even change perhaps our approach, our attitude. You know, perhaps we're prideful or arrogant and we don't necessarily see it. And perhaps this is something that, you know, we ourselves need to work on. The simple fact is, you know, again, when it comes down to it, we have a perfect example to follow. And again, that being Christ. In Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 60. Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 60. Again, Jesus instructs a man to follow him. And this man appears willing to do so, but only after he could take care of some personal business. Again, you know, it goes back to the point that we should certainly count the cost and truly consider whether or not we want to make this commitment to follow Christ. You know, you begin to think back, you can think back to the parable of the sower over in Matthew chapter 13. And, you know, you see how the word of God reacts with these various hearts. And the simple fact is, even today, we see the exact same thing that we saw again throughout this first century, in the fact that sometimes people are willing to let cares, the cares of this world, choke out the word in their heart, you know, even after becoming a Christian. You think about that parable of the sower. Three of those hearts could easily, three of those hearts apply to a Christian, easily apply to a Christian. And the simple fact is, we can easily find ourselves, you know, on the short side in a sense, not necessarily being that good heart, that heart that's actually producing fruit, but we could find ourselves being one of these other hearts or having one of these other heart conditions in a sense. So certainly, you know, again, consider whether or not we are truly fully committed. In Luke chapter 9, in the third example, we see another person who is willing to follow Christ, but he wants to go back and say goodbye to his family. And certainly no one who starts the work of God must look back. Otherwise, he risks falling back into that world that he just left. And this itself is very easy, easy to do. You know, you think about it, if you have just gotten away from this and you've gotten away from perhaps, you know, a prideful life or what have you, a sinful life, and you've gotten to this point where you are doing the work of God, why would you want to turn back and look back into this world that you had just escaped? As opposed to just plowing ahead and again, doing the work of God. When you begin to think about it, if an individual who lacks commitment, who allows worldly distractions to take him away from his task. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 33. Matthew 6 and 33 tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let's also turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. And that verse reads, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And this actually leads us to point number two. You know, why do we draw back? And we'll actually take a step back here and over here in Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll pick up with verse 35 here. Let's pick up with verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, again, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So certainly, again, you know, when you begin to read through the New Testament itself, is certainly very encouraging. Because when you do begin to read through it, again, you see people that are experiencing the exact same thing that we're experiencing. But at the same time, you see all of those that, again, remain faithful to the very end. And it is encouraging to see a Peter, to see a Paul, to see all of these individuals, again, who are willing to remain faithful. And even when they sinned, again, they repented and came back to God and again, remained faithful unto death. So, you know, when you begin to look through this, it is encouraging, even today, because you think about it. These are perfect examples for us. These are great examples to look for. We have our Lord and Savior who provided a perfect example for us. But again, you think about it, these are average, ordinary individuals, just like us. They fall, and again, they repent, and they come back, and they remain faithful. So again, you know, there's a lot to be encouraged by, is what I'm getting. Many today, I put down several reasons as to why many may actually fall or fall back into sin here. One of those is many today may be ridiculed for following Christ. Again, sometimes, you know, we may fall back simply because we're being ridiculed for following the name of Christ. There are number B or point B here is there are parts of the world where one allegiance to Christ could lead to death. And, you know, that was certainly very true throughout this time frame, and it's true still today. There are parts of the world where being a Christian can cost you your life. In the first century, the Roman Emperor Trajan actually made Christianity illegal. And you think about this. So if you were actually brought to the court, you could do one of two things. You could do one of two things. One, you could deny Christ and deny Christianity. You could offer a prayer to these false idols, these Roman idols that they had throughout this time frame. And sometimes you would probably even have to offer a prayer to the emperor himself, who oftentimes saw himself as a god. Or two, you could actually confess Christ. You could confess Christ and hold to the faith, knowing that if you did so, it would cost you your life. And yes, it may have cost them their lives, but at the same time, think about what they actually gain in doing so. So they may have lost that physical life, but they gained so much more by willingly being persecuted for the sake of Christ. And again, You know, even today, there are parts of the world where one may be heavily persecuted for being a Christian. Another reason that we may find ourselves falling away from the faith is family pressure. I've seen this before. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10, verses 35 through 37. So I think we read earlier. Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemy would be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Again, you know, that full commitment to Christ is one that will truly make us make choices. If we're fully committed to Christ, it will make us make choices. And those choices might mean that we separate ourselves from loved ones that are doing things contrary to the word of God. Yes, sir.
I was just thinking about the fact that when a spouse behaves in a godly way, or a son or a daughter, sure, or a mother or father, despite the family, that sends probably the clearest message to the rest of that family that Christ is important to them,
right,
and that they're not going to compromise. And it can be one of the best evangelism tools that we have in bringing those who are at that moment our enemy to Christ,
right,
because they see that we're willing to do the hard thing. We're willing to endure those difficulties in spite of our love for them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it just kind of reinforces the fact that it is so important that our Christian character actually shines through. You know, if we are to be salt, if we are to be light, then certainly we should behave as salt, as light. And we should do those things, again, that promote God for sure. Letter D. I put down a loss of financial stability. Again, there have been situations where, you know, especially when you look at the world today, there are numerous behaviors that are contrary to the will of God. And the simple fact is, you know, if you don't support those behaviors, it could cost you in one way or another. And certainly, you know, I think we have seen some examples, you know, where people are hit financially for not supporting, you know, behaviors that are contrary to the word of God. And the simple fact is, you know, we may be persecuted again for simply holding to the truth, holding to that faith. E is a love for material possessions. Again, we talked about the rich young ruler. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. That verse tells us, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let's also turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And, you know, you see demons here. For demons has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. The simple fact is, the point that I wanted to make here is, you know, when you read that first part, you know, there are many who would depart from the faith because they love the world more so than they love Christ. And again, you know, you think about the simple fact that the world will lead us to death. it will lead you to nothing but death. And Christ and Christ only will lead us to life. We may even draw back because of the example of Christians. And again, you know, we kind of pointed out the positive side to this and that you may be able to win others over. But at the same time, think about it, if you're a Christian and you've already fallen right back into that world of sin that you just escaped from, what type of example are you actually displaying to others? And think about whether or not people actually look at you as a Christian and they see the type of, you know, behavior, the words that you use. They view you, they look at you. And the simple fact is, if you are behaving in a worldly manner, then why would they really want to give the life over to Christ? If it's not serious to you, then, you know, again, what type of example are you really going to be in terms of actually bringing others over to Christ? And again, it points out, you know, it goes right back to the exact same thing that Christ said in regards to salt. You know, that salt has no value to it. If it has no value to it, again, it's simply tossed out. As a Christian, again, you know, what good are we to Christ if we're not doing his work, if we are not behaving Christ-like? We're no good whatsoever. And again, we provide no service whatsoever to Christ if we're not doing those things that are pleasing in the eyes of God. Again, followers of Christ are called to be light and they're called to be salt. Number three, faith is needed to serve God wholeheartedly. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to take a look at verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So again, throughout this first century, Christians certainly faced tremendous persecution. They faced the type of persecution that actually began to impact the morale of the church itself. And the Hebrew writer here actually encourages them to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. And you think about those words, hold fast the faith without wavering. And again, without wavering, despite anything that may come your way, persecution, temptation, whatever it might be. But again, holding fast to it. In verses 22 through 25, the writer encourages these Christians. He knows their struggles, and he encourages them to hold fast to the confession of hope. To do this, certainly, we must all keep our eyes on Christ. And again, you think about it, on a day-to-day basis, we have a lot of things that happen to us throughout the course of the day. But, you know, think about, I mean, literally, and I do it all the time, just taking a few minutes away from your day and literally just opening up the Word of God and putting things right back into perspective and getting yourself right back on the right track. And, I mean, you will run into many people throughout the course of the day, but I kid you not, you know, just sometimes just taking a step back and just literally opening up the Word of God for a few moments. Is a beautiful thing for sure. As Christians who were, again, when you begin to think about these Christians in the first century, these were individuals that were losing their property. They were dying at a rapid rate because of persecution. And at the same time, think about the fact that they were still encouraging one another. They were still encouraging one another to remain faithful and to hold fast to that faith. If our fellow Christians who are enduring the same struggles that we endure are faithful, it encourages us to also remain faithful as well. But the writer here, the Hebrews writer, also provides a warning for those who fall away. And consider, again, the simple fact, without faith, and we're told this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you think about it. You know, if you don't have faith, the chances of you remaining faithful to God is pretty slim. And again, think about everything that goes into it. Again, this full commitment that we've discussed, and the fact again that, you know, we have, again, this perfect example. We have all Christians. There are numerous tools that we have and resources at our disposal to remain faithful to God. I'm going to read one last verse here and wrap up. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And again, you know, the point that I wanted to make here is that we can stand true and fast because, again, there are numerous biblical examples that we can look at. And not just biblical examples, we see, you know, everyday examples, you know, other fellow Christians who are remaining faithful. And again, you know, it does provide that encouragement for us to also remain faithful. I'm going to stop here. Are there any final questions or comments or anything? Thank you. We'll get started on lesson 5 next week.
Do want to welcome each of you here tonight and certainly enjoy and appreciate the opportunity our God has given us to be together and to study from His Word and to now engage in the worship of Him for a few moments. It is my hope and prayer that as things hopefully get better and as vaccines become more available and we are able to take advantage of that, that we'll be able to, in due time, be able to be out more and more together with each other as we are. That we not grow complacent with our worship, but rather desire greatly to be together as we should and as we are best. Do with that in mind, want to remember the next opportunity, Lord willing, to join together in this place, to worship God together, and to participate in a study of His Word. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we'll have that opportunity. Also want to consider the sick. I want to keep in mind Brother Kenny as he is in recovery from his motorcycle injury as he endures some very difficult days and great pain. And of course, we want to keep in mind Diane as she helps him and certainly goes through some difficulty with him. We want to keep in mind Sister Sherry as she endures her cancer treatment. She has had some good news, but she still has a long way to go. Bob has news that he is going to be having surgery on April 21st for his knee to have knee replacement. So we want to keep him in our prayers if that might go well. I did get word that the Bambi Ferrer Boone from the Bethune congregation had a good report from her doctor, but that she still does need to finish out her treatments through chemo and some surgery. So she still has a long way to go in her health
So let's continue to pray for her, as well as Becky McMahon, as she goes through her cancer treatments and issues with that. Now, I do have news that Kenny and Samira Massey have moved to Alabama. It was a rather quick transition with a new job and a sale of their house, but we want to certainly pray for them and their travels and their transition there. I also want to thank Brother Ambrose for his signing up to clean the building for this month. He did that Sunday, and we want to thank him for taking that initiative. This evening, Brother Willie Watts will be leading our singing tonight. Brother James Lee will be giving our invitation. And Brother Jake Higgins will be giving our closing prayer at the end of the service. And so let's all join in as we'll have a new song by Brother Willie.
First of all, go ahead and turn to page 341 and mark it for the song of invitation. 341. And when you finish marking that, turn to page 54. 54. Praise Him, praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful great praise. Hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor, give Him His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail, 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 Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, God unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portal, loved Hosanna's ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Priest and King, Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Again, it is truly good to see everyone out this evening. I wanted to offer a short invitation here for anyone who may not have obeyed the gospel But perhaps you are leaning towards that way. Or even perhaps you're leaning towards trying to learn more about Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 44. We read the following. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. 45 reads, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, you think about this concept of coming to this realization that Christ, that the gospel itself is this treasure that is worth more than anything that we have physically. And that it will actually lead us to life. Think about the joy, especially as you read these parables here, the joy that this individual has. And the fact that they're willing to give it all up in order to attain this treasure. Think about the fact that, you know, earlier we spoke about making this full commitment. And, you know, once we do become a Christian, again, it does require full commitment to Christ. And even after that, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Even after making that full commitment. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14 tells us, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Jesus tells us to be faithful unto death, and he will give us a crown of life. And the simple fact is, again, you know, when you think about what you have here on this earth, think about the simple fact that none of that can compare to what God offers us and to what we can have. And certainly, we all have that opportunity and that choice to make. But again, consider that certainly life is not promised to any of us. If you're present this evening and you never obeyed the gospel, we certainly stand ready to assist. If you find yourself as a Christian who has fallen away from the faith and you require the prayers of the saints, whatever your need may be, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.
I must need go home by the way of the cross, there's no other way but this. I shall bear gifts of the gates of life, if the way of the cross I knew. The way of the cross leads home, the way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. I must needs go home in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of life, where the soul is at home with God. Away on the cross leads home. Away on the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. When I give farewell to the way of the world, to walk in and evermore. For my Lord says, come, and I see my home where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross is home. The way. home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads.